You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. The new year is almost upon us. It is the end of the year, and at this time of year, I do like to take a look back on what has come before. One of my favourite things to do is look back at my favourite films of 2017, and joining me is fellow cinemaphile Alan Russell. Alan, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Looking forward to the new year festivities, and can I just say that I'm not as much a film geek as Mr. Chris Wallace over there, who is just like, you know, the thesaurus on movies.
You do get out to the cinema quite a lot though, Alan.
Yeah, and you know, we spoke on Christmas Eve about our favourite kind of Christmas films and so on, and I was saying that, you know, I love the cinema and I went all the time even before I lost my sight, but now audio description is there. It opens up the whole world of cinema again, and you know, I'll boycott films that don't have audio description. I won't go near them, but if they have it, yeah, I'm there.
Absolutely. It's interesting, actually. We often chat about how good the audio description is, and you've told me before as well that both you and I are big fans of the streaming service Netflix. Mm. They're doing great things with their audio description, aren't they?
They are. You know, whether it's movies or the original TV series that they make themselves or from other networks and so on, they really are putting more and more content on all the time. So when new things come out, you know, a bit of a Trekkie and the new Star Trek Discovery came out, Stranger Things, they all came out and they all had audio description. There was no waiting for it, because sometimes things come out and they're not AD straight away, so other people are talking about it and I'm saying, no, be quiet, I don't want to hear, don't tell me anymore. But well done to Netflix.
We are now going to discuss our favourite films of 2017, and Alan, the first one that you have chosen for us is a rather lovely one, recently released, Paddington 2.
What is your name?
Paddington?
Paddington?
Yes.
You're aware there's a bear on your roof.
The hunt begins.
Hmm? Mysterious things have been happening all over town.
We're going to need a foolproof plan.
I suppose you know who I am.
Oh, yes. You're a very famous actor.
VIP. Celebrity.
Or used to be. Now you do dog food commercials.
Yeah, Paddington 2. It takes you back to your childhood, or me anyway, because I read the Paddington books, Michael Bond's books, when I was a kid, and I loved that it had this innocence to it, but this bear was totally chaotic. It mixed it so well. So when it came to the cinema for the first Paddington movie, you know, I was up for it, and my kids were saying, well, we might go and see it, and I said, no, you are going to see it.
No Marvel movies for you, kids. We're off to see Paddington.
Yeah, and then when Paddington 2 came out, I just had to go see it, because the first one was great. You know, it was wonderful to see it on the big screen with all the famous names, Hugh Bonneville in there. And when Paddington 2 came out, I thought, yes, got to go see this as well. You know, you've got Joanna Lumley in there, you've got Hugh Grant in there as well.
I love with both the Paddington films that they can attract such star talent. And I think most of that is not about the budget or how much they're being offered. It's because these actors, as you say, Hugh Bonneville, Hugh Grant, Peter Capaldi's in the most recent one, they just love the bear.
It's great when you get people who'll do that. You know, it isn't, as you say, about the money. They obviously loved Paddington, they grew up with Paddington, and it's a chance to perhaps star in something which you know is going to be big, and that crosses the age barrier. You know, when I was in the cinema, I think maybe 20% of the audience were kids. Everybody else was maybe from like 20 to, I don't know, about 80 years old as well.
That's fantastic. I love when you have moments like that where kids' films come out, but they're not just for the kids, they're for the kids in all of us. And let's get controversial, Alan. If you had the choice between Paddington and Paddington 2, what would you go for?
Paddington 2.
The sequel outweighs the original.
Yeah, not often that happens.
Not often that happens at all. Okay, we are moving away from Paddington 2 and from Harry Styles, who you've been hearing in the background there. And we're going to one of my movies of the year. Now, this one is going to cause a little bit of controversy. Alan did not enjoy it. It's the Lego Batman movie.
Master Bruce, your greatest fear is...
Snakes?
No.
Clowns?
No. It's being a part of a family again.
No, now it's snake clowns, because you put that idea in my head.
Sir, you need to take responsibility for your life, and it starts by raising the young orphan you adopted.
I thought I was being sarcastic.
I'm Batman!
No way!
Come catch your greatest enemy.
Superman is my greatest enemy.
Superman's not a bad guy!
Then I'd say that I don't currently have a bad guy. I am fighting a few different people. I like to fight around.
Now, Alan, I'm a big, huge Batman fan. I have loved Batman my entire life. And when the Lego movie came out and was, of course, absolutely awesome, I was so pleased that they announced they were going to do the Lego Batman movie. And I loved it. What was it that put you off?
I love Batman as well. You know, from the original series, you know, back in the 60s, Adam West, through the comics, through the films when they all came out as well, the darker films too. I love Batman. But it was actually my kids who wanted to go and see that because they'd been to see the Lego movie and it's all Lego Batman. So I thought, okay, we'll give it a go. I just couldn't get to grips with it. I don't know if it's perhaps because even with all the description, I think it needed the visuals as well. I don't know if because it was Lego kind of movie.
I think you could be onto something there because certainly with the screen that I went to see Lego Batman on, it was the film from beginning to end is hectic. It's so frantic and there's so much going on. Even anyone with full vision, I don't think would catch everything that was going on, but I can imagine that the audio description must have been going a mile a minute. It must have been trying to get so much information crammed into such a short period of time.
Yeah, they're trying to get the description in between all the actor dialogue. And it was tricky. I mean, it wasn't disastrous, but the kids loved it, so they were quiet.
This is one that I saw on 4DX, Alan. I've tried to tempt you into the ways of 4DX. Have you been able to check out a film in 4DX yet?
I haven't yet.
4DX, this fantastic system where your chair moves. If there's water going on screen, you get splashed. If it's raining, you get rained on. If it's snowing, well, you don't get snow in this country. Some countries you do get snow, but in this country you'll get bubbles if it's snowing. But in this one, Bruce Wayne does a spit take and the entire cinema was covered
in
water. It was fantastic. So that's one of my choices for the year, the Lego Batman movie. We're moving back to Alan Russell and, well, this one was a tearjerker. Alan, I know that you're a big fan of this movie. Tell us, what's the film?
A Dog's Purpose.
Yeah, good boy.
But one word got said more than any other. After a while, I came to understand the words that mattered. I had a boy, and his name was Ethan. I got a name. My name was Bailey, 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 Bailey. I learned my place in the pack. Mom liked me. Dad liked me. I was sad for the cat. Obviously, he wanted to be a dog. It wasn't my fault he couldn't be a dog.
Alan, now this film failed, and it's what I would say is its one and only quest with me to raise a tear, but you told me you were blubbing like a baby.
I was desperately trying not to cry because the dog, or the spirit in the dog, dies several times through the film. It ends up at the end, you know, he finds his way back to his original owner. And I tell you, I was desperately trying not to cry. I was there with my wife and kids, and I could hear this blubbing all around me. I thought, no, it's not going to happen to me. And I held my nerve the first time, I think, and the rest of them, I had tears in my eyes. And at the end, it was like, yeah, it's a good film, let's go.
I remember chatting to you about it, and you were telling me how much the film had affected you. It didn't affect me at all, but I know what you mean. I was in the cinema, and the entire room, all you could hear, almost over the dialogue, all you could hear were people holding back the tears, sniffing. But yeah, as you say, like, I understand completely. It seems like I've got a heart of stone, but I understand completely because the poor dog dies so many times in this film.
It does. You have a heart of Lego, Mr. Wallace. Yeah, you know, it's up there with Marley and me when Marley dies.
Spoilers, you know, Alan, I've not seen, I'm only joking.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Speaking of things that did elicit a response from me, for my final pick of movies of 2017. Alan and I had an agreement before we started that none of us got to select the new Star Wars movie because there's a good chance that's everyone's favourite at the moment. But my other favourite, it's Thor Ragnarok, and it's The Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin.
So much has happened since I last saw you. I lost my hammer, like yesterday, so that's still pretty fresh.
And then I went on a journey of self-discovery, where I met you.
Hello, the goddess of death has invaded Asgard.
Oh, I've missed this.
And you and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won, easily.
Doesn't sound right.
Well, that's true.
Now, I'm not sure if you've caught Ragnarok yet. Alan, how far along are you in your Marvel movies?
I haven't reached Ragnarok yet, but the previous Thor one, you know, fantastic.
I loved it as well. A lot of people didn't like Thor 2, but I will say that Thor Ragnarok is not what you expect. I wouldn't say it's an action film in the typical sense. This one is far more a comedy. From the opening scenes, the dialogue in it is nodding to the camera almost. We have Thor, who's on a mission to prevent Ragnarok, the end of time for his home planet. But in the first opening 20 minutes or so, he loses Mjolnir, his hammer. His long-forgotten sister returns, murders half the population, exiles Loki, sends Thor off on a wild adventure, where he meets the most Jeff Goldblum-y Jeff Goldblum has potentially ever been. He is playing the Grandmaster and he is fantastic in it. I can't recommend this film to you enough, Alan, but the reason I chose it, I must say, is how well they use Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. The opening scene uses Immigrant Song, but it doesn't come back until the very, very final fight. And when it does come back, man, you want to stand up in the cinema and just scream out. It's fantastic.
Well, I will go to see this one. My wife enjoyed the Thor ones, but I'm not sure if it was because of just Thor.
I think I could tell you why. My wife also enjoys the Thor movies. In the last one, she lost a contact lens just as Thor was taking a bath.
Oh!
She regretted that. So this time, I must warn you, Alan, Thor is practically naked in this one again, but I poked her just to make sure she was still awake because she would have been devastated if she missed a shirtless Thor for a second time. So, absolutely fantastic film. If you get the chance, check out Thor Ragnarok. Now, like our Christmas special, Alan and I have chosen our TV moments of the year. Alan, what was your favourite TV moment of this year?
We mentioned on this and on our Christmas Eve film show that Netflix are so good at audio describing a lot of new content now, and I'm a big sci-fi fan, so Stranger Things was a must for me to watch, and it was set in the 80s. More could I possibly want? So when Stranger Things 2 was coming out, you know, it was a must. As soon as it came out, I was there, I was watching it, and I love it. I love the actors in it, I love the kids, I love how they've developed through it, I love the soundtrack as well, and the story is just great. And at the end of Stranger Things 2, how do I describe it without giving anything away to those who haven't watched it? But you know when you're a kid and you go to the school disco?
Yes.
And you're looking for your first dance?
Yes.
It's a little bit like that at the end. It pulls everything together at the end. Again, it's like the icing on the cake, the sort of final scenes of Stranger Things 2. And it didn't disappoint. I think it was a little slower, this series, at the beginning, but I think we probably expected far too much because the first series was so different from anything else. But it built, the tension built, the pace built, and the excitement built all the way through right to the very end, and I just loved this as a series.
I cannot agree with you more. Absolutely loved Stranger Things 2. Both Alan and I were huge fans of Stranger Things, and this is one of those rare ones, Alan. I think we kept pace with each other in our Netflix viewing of it. Stranger Things 2, as you say, it was such a slow start, and as much as I was enjoying it, I wasn't loving it.
Yep.
But there's something about those final two episodes that just, it blew me away. And what I absolutely adore about Stranger Things is it genuinely feels like it's come out of the 80s, almost like someone's gone back to 1984, ripped your favourite TV show out, and then put it on your TV for you just now. The kids act like, you know, the kids that we grew up with in E.T. and the Goonies. They don't seem like the kids of the new millennium. I always said it feels like a Stephen King story directed by Steven Spielberg.
It does, doesn't it? Dustin is my favourite character, I have to say, in both of them.
There's a whole new side to a character we were sort of led to dislike last series because he wasn't the love interest that we wanted involved in the show. But Steve has a fantastic role in this part. He hooks up with Dustin at one point and then he sort of becomes like the childminder for all the kids.
He does, doesn't he? He's the kind of the bouncer for the kids and helps them on their quest.
And how much you would trust your own babysitter with a baseball bat full of nails, I'm not sure, but Steve is fantastic in it. And as Alan said, the final scene, or close to the final scene, takes place at a high school prom, and this fantastic song that we're hearing from Cyndi Lauper in the background just genuinely makes the scene, doesn't it, Alan? It's beautiful.
It does, and I think the Duffer Brothers, who created the series, they wanted, they call it a snowball in the States, the Christmas dance, and they wanted this snowball at the end, and they, I think they kind of worked backwards a little bit for some of the film, and I think even the kids were desperate for the snowball, you know, that first kiss as well.
Oh, we're almost giving something away.
Yeah, I'm not going to say who's kiss though.
Yes, well, if you've not had the chance to check it out, maybe you don't have Netflix yet, but Stranger Things 2 is an absolute must for your New Year viewing. If you've got a couple of days off work, or if you're just looking for something new to stick on the box, why not go for it? The audio description is good on Stranger Things as well, isn't it, Alan?
The audio description is great through both series. So, yeah, it paints a picture in your mind, and that's not an easy thing to do.
Well, thank you so much to my very special guest, the Early Editions, Alan Russell, for joining me. Don't forget to check out Sounds of the Silver Screen, which is on from 6 until 7 o'clock tonight, and then repeated New Year's Eve tomorrow from 12 until 1. What's your plans for New Year's Eve yourself there, Alan?
A friend of mine is going to have some people over, so we're all going out to dinner. I think there's about 14 of us. And then we're all going back to his for Horlicks and some sponge cake and watch some TV and sing songs and play Cluedo.
Sounds like an absolutely fantastic way to spend a new year. Alan Russell, thanks for joining me today. You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio.